Hello, my friends, and thank you for joining me on the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm Paul White. It is the 22nd day of September, and we are in Genesis chapter 4. We are moving into the 11th verse, where God says to Cain, "So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." And this marks the first cursed man in the Bible. Trying to wrap our minds around what the implications are for humanity isn't an easy task, but maybe the best starting place is to see that it is not as if God curses the family of man, but that Cain, and I believe where you see it say that he's cursed from the earth, I believe that it is Cain walking into the consequences of what he has done, because it would seem to me that the curse is the consequence. Whatever has been done in error, whatever has been done wrong, sinful, the curse is the consequence. This is why Paul would say in Galatians that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. Well, we don't look at it as if having the law over us makes us a cursed people. If that were the case, then Israel was cursed the moment God gave them the law. But when they broke the law, they moved underneath the curse. In other words, when they broke the law, they incurred the consequence of breaking it, and the term that's used for that is curse. Now, what we have done with this word is we've turned it almost into this magic thing that someone can say over you, like, "You are cursed, you and your children are cursed because of this, and from henceforth and forever, you will not be able to do this." And a lot of this seems to be more sort of black magic or Hollywood than it does to be the vernacular of the Bible. So what happens in Cain's situation is the consequences of having murdered is something he has to live with, to the point that the ground doesn't yield its strength to him, and he's a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it does bring up the argument as to go, why does the earth not yield up its fruit to him? How is that a consequence of his sin? And I think it could be because, remember, his occupation is farmer, some form of farmer, because when the sacrifices were offered, he offered up the first fruits of the ground. He offered up what he had grown, but he didn't offer it up in faith. And then when he kills his brother, the thing he was good at, he's no longer good at. And I think it could be that the consequences of our sin, the consequences of this specific sin, in Cain's case, of murdering his brother, bleeds over into every area of his life. You can't just get away from that. So you can't just commit murder and then compartmentalize it and go about your business. Whatever it is that Cain is good at is going to suffer because he's psychologically and spiritually carries with him what he has done to his brother Abel. So whereas he may not have wanted to see himself as his brother's keeper, he can't get away from the fact that whatever he has done to his brother, he will keep those consequences. And it kind of, to me, it kind of says, you'll either keep your brother or you'll keep the consequences of not keeping your brother. You're going to keep something. And that's where Cain lands. So whereas he didn't want to deal with Abel, he'll have to constantly deal with what he did to Abel, because he'll have to constantly deal with the Cain that's left over after the murder of Abel. So he's cursed from the earth that had opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And so there's a contentious relationship in guilt and in condemnation and in shame. When Christ comes to redeem us from the curse of the law, Christ takes that contentious relationship into himself. Once again, the earth is connected with the blood of Abel here. Notice that. Because that's the new system of the world that Cain now lives in. This system of the world built upon vengeful blood. And there's no getting around that for Cain. What's Cain going to need in order to relieve him from the curse. Well, we know that what we're about to see is the mark placed upon Cain that keeps him alive. This is an act of mercy. But we know that in the greater context of the stories of the Bible, that which relieves us from the curse is Christ being made into the curse on our behalf. Or let's say it this way, that which relieves us from the bite of the snake is to look upon the smitten Savior. Jesus becomes the snake on the pole. He becomes the judged serpent, so that all of us who are snake bit can look upon him and have relief from whatever it is. So let's say we're Cain. Say that in this situation we are as one of our first fathers, Cain. And we're carrying with us this guilt and shame for what we've done and who we are. And the only release from that is to see that Christ has carried our curse and carried our shame. And as we behold it in him, we are released from the guilt and the shame. We are released from the curse. Now, with that said, I want to clear this up as we head to the end today. I don't believe in a system of cursing people and then them falling under some sort of supernatural spell because you've placed a curse upon them. I believe that in New Testament terms, a lot of times the phrase cursing is often juxtaposed against blessing, like where the Apostle Paul tells the Roman Christians to bless and curse not. In other words, don't speak negative over people when it would be so much more beneficial to speak positive over them. It's not as if by speaking a curse over them, they are cursed, but it seems to be in Paul's world that when you speak the curse towards people, you simply ruin the relationship that you could have had with them. And so be careful how you respond to this world and what you say in it, because it goes a long way. It says something about who you know you are. Okay, more from Cain, because we're going to try to put all of this in perspective, and we've got to get towards this moment where the mark is placed upon him. I also want to try to answer the question in the next few days, if the wages of sin is death, why doesn't God kill Cain? We're going to dig into this over the next few days. See you tomorrow. God bless.